have to tell you this story about DJ Debunk, aka my husband. I wanted to text you this so bad the other day. His sisters were over and we were having like a little girls' night and drinking wine, and we were literally talking about kitchen remodels, something far away from the paranormal and true crime. He's scrolling on his phone and he goes, he's like, stop everything. So we look over to him and he goes, how are we not talking about this? And I was like, what? He goes, someone on a Port Authority bus had heads in his backpack. Like, heads? Like, what kind? He goes, I don't know, human heads. He goes, there was like a smell from it, and that's when everyone got alerted and the police came. And he goes, wait, this is a catfish story. He had a head of garlic and a head of cabbage. And I was like, you didn't read till the end? I was like, do you not think that between me and his sisters, like, we would have known that there was a guy walking around with, like, human heads?
I was going to say, does he know who he's married to? And first of all, he's called DJ Debunk. He should be going after every other storyline besides right? the one that we want. I mean, I should rephrase that. I do not want someone walking around with human heads in their bag, but he needs to check himself before he wrecks himself.
Oh my God. But the confidence level that he like was like, I know a true crime thing that you don't. And we're like, nope, shut you down.
His confidence level sometimes, he needed that. He needs to be brought down. He needs to be humbled.
I just had to kick that pedestal out from under his little feet. And, like, you don't think this would have been, like, an international story? Like, who walks around with human heads in their bags? Like, nobody. But it was a head of cabbage and a head of garlic.
He's such an ass. Well, good morning, everybody. It is early here, and we are enjoying our cup of coffee, getting ready for part two of Billy Milligan. You know, Ash, I'm just sitting here with my fart-loading mic, or my fart mug, and my fart-loading. It says fart-loading. I don't know if you can see that. I mean, this is great podcasting stuff.
I thought because, that's what you said, and I was like...
great podcasting because everybody at home can see what we're doing, but...
yeah, can you see this beautiful mug?
Also had my shot of Magic Mind. I'm still rolling with that. Because we are drywalling today, and I'm definitely going to need it, because I might throw few tools out the window tonight. But if you guys are like me and need a little extra pick-me-up, do go to www.magicmind.co/don'tgo and use our promo code DON'TGO20 for 40% off your first subscription or 20% off your first purchase.
And this is also linked on our Instagram. So if you're a friend of us, you can find them because they are a friend of us. So you could just kind of click and go over and look at all their products and use our code.
Yep. And as soon as I find a box, Ash, yours is going to be sent out tomorrow. I just got to find a smaller box because apparently USPS charges you on the size of the box, not the weight anymore. So,
wow. Yeah. Well, they have the whole... it fits the chips thing, so you just gotta go find a little box.
Yep. You just gotta find a little box. I'm sure I can find one somewhere.
But I will say, we're starting, so 7-something your time, 9 my time, but you are super focused and with it this morning.
I am.
From your magic mind.
I might have to take it the second one after this, because I'm not ready to drywall today, and I have to get it done. Because our house goes on the market on Wednesday.
So exciting!
Alright, well... Ash, do you have anything else to cover housewise?
Just follow us on social media. So we have the Instagram, don't_go_in_there. The Facebook group and page, come join us. We post different things in there, so come be a part of our little community. And we are on TikTok, so we're still learning that, but go follow us on Don't Go In There Pod. And then always feel free to send in your true crime stories or your paranormal stories to our email, don'tgointhere19@gmail.com. And give us a like and a 5-star review on iTunes and stuff. So help us grow in the charts.
Yeah. We need to get back where we were. We didn't do too bad on this one, on the last one. I thought we did a little bit better than what we were going to, because we're just coming back. But we're just going to keep on chugging along, and... when the numbers come, they will come. If they don't, we're still going to record, and you guys are still going to have to listen to our beautiful voices.
Exactly.
Again, I do want to apologize. I'm still sitting in
your rickety old chair.
My rickety old chair. I decided that we were not going to buy a chair to ship back to Maine. So I'm just going to wait till I get to Maine and get a nice chair.
Maybe by that point, like, we'll have, maybe, like, we'll crowdfund you a chair so we don't have to listen to it anymore. Like, everyone, well,
maybe I'll just make you guys listen to it until I get a chair on my front porch. That'd be great.
Bill needs a new chair.
All right, Ash. Well, if there's nothing else, what do you say? Let's go in there.
Let's go.
All right, so the last time we talked, we ended on pretty much what Billy Milligan's personalities were. So we had Arthur, who was kind of the control freak and the most intelligent. He also spoke in a British accent. Reagan, who, if you look at it spelled, it actually spells rage in. So if you can think about him, he's the guy who is violent, shows a lot of rage. He speaks in a Yugoslavian accent. There's Tommy, who's just like a mischievous, I don't know if he's a little boy or like a teenager, but he just leaves the hospital just to show he can escape, and then he comes right back. There's Christine, who's a frightened little girl. There's David, who's a 9-year-old. And he's the kind of personality that would account for all the abuse that Billy went to. That's what we're going to kind of focus on today, is Billy's family and past. And then we would hear about Alan and Adalia, too. Not too much on them. They're going to be mentioned once in a while. Adalia does play a small role in this, but there's not a lot about the personalities altogether. That just final thing. Just remember that according to Billy, none of the personalities really interacted. Well, he didn't really interact with any of the personalities until the evaluations. There's two ways of looking at this, that either Billy didn't know about the personalities and the personalities knew about each other because the way that the interviews went, you can tell that they know about each other, but we're not sure if that was the case before the evaluations or after the evaluations.
Yeah, so last time we talked, remember how we were asking about how do these personalities have different accents? So you said the one had like a Yugoslavian accent. I was very interested in this, and I did a little dive, not a deep dive. DID, dissociative identity disorder, has like a lot of, it can come out in different ways, whether it's, you know, it's really still unclear, but it could be like a post-traumatic event, neglection as a child, sexual abuse, physical abuse, child labor. So that's kind of how it develops. But I was kind of interested in this foreign accent syndrome. Have you ever heard of FAS?
I have not.
Okay, so one of our favorite comedians, Tom Segura, does do a little joke about this in one of his specials. And I didn't think it was a real thing until I kind of researched it. But it is a real thing where you suddenly start to speak in a different accent. So you have your normal English language or whatever you speak, but then you pick up this French accent or Australian accent. There's a lot of reports, like an Australian woman who developed a French accent after a car accident, or an American woman in Arizona woke up with an Australian, British, Irish accent after having a headache. So it can come on due to like stroke or trauma to the brain or brain lesions, which had me thinking, DID is something to do with the brain. Like, it's protecting you from some sort of trauma. So that's how it could possibly pick up like these different accents. So I just thought that was like super fascinating. I didn't go too deep in it, but I think it could totally be connected.
It could also just be a trip to Vegas where you just start screaming, "I tell you what, I tell you what."
Yeah, I definitely think that's his alter ego, and I definitely think he's picking up some accents.
Yeah, for sure. But today we're going to focus on mainly Billy's past, his family, the abuse, possibly get into a little bit of the criminal aspect, his activity, also when he was growing up. We'll just see how far we get, I guess. We don't have a plan, people, so we
don't even have a plan.
We went from strictly scripted to we don't even have a plan. So hopefully it works out.
And if it doesn't, It's still going to work out.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
It's fine.
So basically, let's start off with how the family describes Billy as a child. They describe him, he had a great sense of humor, was not as social or adventurous as the other kids. Family and friends even noticed, even at a young age, he would like pick up these accents, off whether it was off the television or off the, I guess, the radio. But there weren't too many shows on, but Billy would have been exposed to at least the British accent. I can't remember the TV show that he watched all the time, but the main character, basically, I think he was a spy, so he basically had a British accent. So that's somewhere where they...
Like those 007, like, old movies?
I can't remember.
That's the first thing that comes to my mind, so...
Yeah, I can't remember, but basically this is where they think he picked up the British accent from, because other than that, they really don't know where he would have picked it up, because remember, he lives in rural Ohio, and then for a majority of his time, so he wouldn't have been around the British accent that much.
Yeah.
Well, even Billy's mother knew about these different personalities and their names when Billy was young. It's again, according to the mother. She even claimed that sometimes he spoke a different language and she could not understand him. He would constantly come, like, quote-unquote, come to at school to be Billy. So he would basically just, like, kind of wake up and all of a sudden he'd freak out because he didn't know he was at school.
That has to be a lot, because this is, I forget what year it is, but it's definitely way back before this was, like, a thing. So how, like, crazy, like, scary would that be, like, not knowing where you are and then just waking up and being like, oh, shit, I'm at school or somewhere else?
I don't know. I've had a couple Friday nights and Saturday nights where I just wake up and don't know where I'm at. That's kind of scary.
That is very scary.
Like 10 years ago. Not no more. But he was even found on a fire escape once. I was never found on a fire escape, so that's one good thing.
Yeah.
But could you imagine just like coming to and then you're on a fire escape, like not even knowing where you're at?
That's not in the ideal location at all.
The family even took him to the doctors, and they chalked it up to like an amnesia episode or sleepwalking. So obviously they didn't know what was going on. They thought he was just having multiple amnesia episodes where he would just forget.
Which that is kind of crazy, because that could be so dangerous if the doctor's just like, yeah, you just have amnesia, you're just forgetting. Like, I mean, I know it was such a different time and testing was different, but...
Yeah,
I guess they were doing the best they could.
That would even be scary, too, just to have amnesia episodes. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's not fun either.
No, I hate not remembering what I did.
I mean, even driving down the highway, sometimes you're like, when did I...
zone out.
Yeah, like, when did I get 50 miles up the road? So, I mean, and then imagine that, and then you wake up on a fire escape not knowing what you did. Billy's mother, Dorothy Sands, was abandoned by her own father, and after her mother died when she was 8, she was raised by very religious grandparents in Amanda, Ohio. She married at 18 to Dick Jonas, who was an alcoholic. And you got to remember, this is before Billy's even born, so this is probably like in the 40s or 50s.
So it's already off to a rough start.
That's a rough start even for that time period. Getting married at 18. Sorry, Utah. I know you guys like getting married when you're 18, 19, 20. That's not a recipe for success. I can only imagine where I'd be if I married the person I was with when I was in my early 20s.
Oh, my God. I'd be divorced. It'd be terrible.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And we both know who I was with in my early 20s.
Yep.
Yeah. So basically, she escaped that life with Dick because he was alcoholic and somewhat abusive. And then she ended up, to escape her own life, she would go to nightclubs and sing because that's what she really wanted to do. So she would go out, just like you would think, like back in the 40s and 50s with the guy with the piano. And she'd be up on stage singing her little heart out.
Kind of like a little piano bar.
Yeah, and she would do that at various little nightclubs because that was very popular in the 50s, those type of like romantic little tables around, and then the piano, and someone would sing live. And you'd have your dinner and cocktails.
Let's bring those back. That sounds fun.
Maybe I'll open one up.
And there you go.
There you go. This is where she met Billy's father, Johnny Morrison. He was a... Let me go back on that. I'm sorry. I forgot one little aspect of this. She actually ends up moving to Miami with her sister. So, and then she picked up right where she left off in Amanda, Ohio. So she would drive from Amanda, Ohio to Columbus to the little nightclubs and sing. And then she moved to Miami with her sister, and that's where she would do the bigger nightclubs. Not like huge ones, but, you know, bigger. It's Miami. I mean,
yeah.
The smallest one is probably bigger than the ones in Columbus.
They're all about the nightlife, too.
Yeah. So, and then this is where she met Johnny Morrison. He was a comedian and a musician.
Musician?
Yeah, sure.
Words are hard this early.
They are. It's 8:11. Should still be sleeping. But then Billy was born on Valentine's Day of 1955, about a month after his birth. Billy was actually rushed to the hospital because of a growth in his throat that was causing him to stop breathing.
That's
so
scary.
Check this off, because remember what we talk about serial killers. They always have, like, trauma to the head. Well, this could actually cause brain damage, because if you're not getting enough oxygen, then you can get brain damage. So remember, that's one of the check marks that they like, well, not like to see, but that they count to. Depending on how you look at the situation, fortunately or unfortunately, they were able to revive him, and they saved his life. This was actually kind of cute. The hospital staff actually, for his first birthday, sent him a card saying happy first birthday, and wrote him a letter saying how much he gave them a scare, because they weren't sure if they were going to be able to revive him. So just wished him a happy birthday on his first birthday, and I'm sure he doesn't even remember that. But
yeah, but cool. Still, that is so sweet, because nurses, like, they see so much, so they're like the best. Like, I've met a couple great nurses, and when they go that extra mile, it really does make a difference.
Oh yeah,
it's sweet.
I don't know how they do it.
I know.
You know, we work closely with the nurses a lot, especially when we're bringing people in, and the way that they shut down these drunks is hysterical sometimes. Johnny, the father, he suffered from depression and schizophrenia. But I do want to note, even though they say schizophrenia, that term was overly used back then. They would use it for people with many mental illnesses, even down to anxiety. So schizophrenia was used for everything, pretty much. It was a broad term. Now, not so much. These mental illnesses led to his gambling, alcohol abuse, drug addictions. He was even very jealous and very overly possessive of Dorothy, and would even have violent tendencies towards her. This caused Dorothy to force Johnny out of the house multiple times.
Sounds like a cocktail of, like, bad news with all the mental things that he's going through, but then add drugs, add gambling, add jealousy. It's just bad events all around.
Yeah, 100%. And we all know, even now, domestic violence is not reported as much as it should be. Back then, it was almost like... You should beat your wife. And I'm like, reading some of this stuff, like, I hope someone doesn't clip that out and send that out. But it's amazing
to see
how the cops and people responded to domestic violence. It was more of the victim's fault than it was the abuser's
fault. What did you do? You burnt dinner? You didn't wash his clothes correctly?
Yeah.
Like,
and
deserve this. And it's...
Yeah, you'll hear more about it here in a little bit. But eventually, after Dorothy kicked Johnny out, he actually would end up committing suicide at a local motel. The children were told that their father's death was actually because of medical condition, so they did not learn about the real way he died until later in life, probably early adulthood.
And I get you want to shelter your kids. That's probably what was the best. But also, that learning after the fact, like, especially in your early adulthood, that could also be a traumatizing thing to learn. Like, you think your dad died one way, out of natural causes, medical reasons, but then you learn he takes his own life. That's going to bring up a lot of questions and a lot of dirt.
It's also going to start a lot of trust issues with...
Yeah.
Like, I can understand you don't want to tell a 5, 6, 7-year-old
dad
killed himself. But maybe we just don't say anything. Like, we just say your dad died, and later on down the road, we'll tell you why. Just right now, you don't need to know.
Yeah.
So after that happened, Dorothy and the kids packed up and headed back to Amanda, Ohio, where Dorothy grew up, and actually moved them onto the farm that she grew up with her grandparents. She would actually get back together with Dick Jonas, the ex-husband. However, surprise, surprise, the marriage did not last that long. There's a reason you got divorced the first time.
That always baffles me when people go back to, like, their ex-boyfriend or girlfriend or somebody. It's like, you know, there's a reason why this didn't work out in the first place. Now, don't come after me. Some people do get back together and it works out, but...
Yeah, usually the ones that work out leave because, you know, you went to different colleges on different coasts. Like, and then eventually you guys came back to your hometown. Like, that stuff makes sense. But when it's a bad relationship, very rarely... does it ever get better?
Exactly. Exactly. Take our relationship advice. Don't do it.
That'll be our next podcast, is relationship advice with Ashley and Bill.
Hashtag don't do it. Don't go in there and don't do it. I'm just kidding.
After the marriage ended, Dorothy ended up taking a job at a nearby town. Even though she had her plate full with her job, the kids, she was still able to make it back to Columbus and start singing again. So that, you can tell, that was, like, her thing. I'm sure.
Passion.
Yeah. Because a job, a kids, over-religious grandparents, I don't even know if they're still alive, but she's growing up on a farm. A lot going on, and she's still making her way to Columbus to sing at these local clubs. So that's a way for her to, like, release the stress. This is where she'd meet a man named Chalmer.
Wait, what's his name?
Chalmer. Like, Palmer, but Chalmer.
That's interesting. Okay, go ahead. I just never heard that name before.
I've actually heard it one other time, and it was after I read this story, and I can't remember who. But anyway, Chalmer actually would end up adopting Billy and his siblings. You see that a lot, especially like on TikToks, where you see those little presents that go by, and the stepdaughter's adopted by the stepfather, and it's a big emotional thing. Yeah. But then also, so Dorothy would end up adopting Chala. That's his daughter. Yes, they like the Chas and the Chalmer family.
I was
going to
say,
yeah. So
like
they all adopt each
other's
kids, and things actually started off great. Everybody was happy. Chalmer was a caring, loving father and husband, but it turned very quickly after that. During one account, Chalmer sees Dorothy. Now, remember, this is late 50s, early 60s. Chalmer sees Dorothy speaking to a black man at work and erupts into a rage. He begins to bang her head off the floor while the children were watching. Kathy Jo is Billy's sister. She recalled Billy just sitting on the floor with his knees to his chest and kept repeating the same sentence over and over again. Instances like this were occurring more often and getting way more violent. Even to the point where ripping the kids out of bed just to beat them. So he like snapped. Something, I don't know if something
That's
happened.
Insane.
It wasn't mentioned. I don't know if he just started drinking again or started drinking heavily. But remember, that's the 50s and 60s. Racism was rampant, especially in the older community like Chalmer. You know, we still have some work to do now, but it was
terrible
that
back then.
No, you know what I mean? So that's just terrible. So this is when they start to see, like, Billy's, like, attitude and personality changes. Dorothy would call the cops when this stuff would happen, and they would just blame the victim and say, you know, you should have been a better wife kind of thing. So she could never get, like, a reprieve from it because they wouldn't arrest him. At least now we are required to... So The weird thing is, like, an assault can happen between two parties, two, like, let's just say two mutual combats. Nobody goes to jail. Maybe somebody gets, they still get charged, possibly, but no, some, if there's no serious injury, we can probably get away with not taking them to jail. However, in a domestic, yeah, well, obviously, yes.
But do you separate? Yes.
I mean, if it's going to be a continuous problem, one will go to jail. One will go to jail. But if it's just like a pushing match or like somebody got slapped in the face, like Will Smith slapped Chris Rock, in that situation, charges should have been brought against Will Smith, but he wouldn't have went to jail because it wasn't to that level. But he would have got whatever charge it is in California.
I'm just thinking of like the Gabby Petito when they were with the cops or whatever, and because the domestic, I guess, call was called in, and they made him go to a hotel and her stay in the van. But no, I don't think charges were filed, and well, they, no one went to jail. But they were like, we're going to separate you for the night.
They fucked up big time because it is actually a state statute. While it does not say, it says shall arrest, which means shall means you you have to. So if you, let's say, I push Ann and there's evidence of it, or if I even open, slap Ann in the arm and there's a mark, that's domestic violence. I automatically go to jail. Should automatically go to jail. And a lot of people say, you know, whatever happens after that, happens after that. A lot of officers will say, well, what does it, you know, not, I shouldn't say a lot of officers. There's some officers who are like, well, why should I do that? Because the victim's just going to not show at court. Well, let that be on the victim. If she doesn't want to, you know, pursue charges after that, that's fine. But you need to be the one that go ahead and arrest him, because that's when everything happens, is during that time between visits. And when I be between visits, it's between us being called out there for the first incident. And then the second incident, which is usually way worse, whether it's going to be a severe beating or an actual murder. And then it falls on our responsibility.
Yeah. And I mean, I think there's obviously a lot of, you know, there still needs to be changes with how this is dealt with. But basically in the 1950s, 60s, you said that they'd get called out. It'd be more of like victim blaming in a sense, like, what did you do? And I think that's why, one, a lot of it doesn't get reported. And then, two, why a lot of people kind of stay in that situation. It's because, like, no one believes me. And I think that still happens today, not as often, but it's still
it's also
a hard situation to be in.
Because, and I don't want to sound like an asshole, but a lot of people don't, a lot of people don't understand what also happens is when we get to these scenes, those two might be fighting. They still love each other. It's probably an abusive relationship, you know, on both sides. And then all of a sudden they both turn on us, and it's, they're now a team against the police officers, and it turns ugly because now we're arresting him or her. Cause I've had a few where she's the aggressor and actually is the abuser. And now it's, you can't arrest him. I don't want him arrested. I don't want charges. And it's like, well, you can deal with that later because this is how the law is. So it's just something for people to know what goes on, because domestics are the worst. That's where most of us get shot. That's where the most of us get killed. It's just, it's a crazy all around thing. And it does need to be taken more seriously by other people. And there's something to be said that something needs to be done, but I'll get off the soapbox, you know, my soapbox and move on. But just know that. But moving forward, after the abuse started getting pretty bad, like even worse than what it already is, trauma would actually start to take Billy and Jim, who is Billy's brother, to a small room that was in the shed out back, and that's where he would do most of the beatings. But Chalmer was, I don't want to say smart, but kind of smart. He would actually use things like phone books and place it against them and hit them because it wouldn't leave a mark.
I hate how these people can, like, get away with that.
Yeah, so he would hit the phone book. It would still hurt, obviously, because it's still all that force and then the heavy phone book, but it wouldn't leave a fist mark or a handprint, probably just a big red box, and nobody would know what that was. But even though he did go to both Jim and Billy, he focused more on Billy because Billy just wouldn't do what he was told, and he was just being a hassle. the way that he described Billy in the interviews was just like Billy was a pain in the ass and he hated him.
And it's probably because he didn't understand what Billy was going through. Like, if Billy's going through all, like, his personality changes and things like that, that probably set Charmer off.
Exactly. Not I think that it was just, you know, that they grew up in the 20s and 30s, probably, Charmer and Dorothy, you know, maybe even 40s, 50s. And we see it all the time. When people don't understand something, they, like, get mad and act out crazy. Like, you know, it's even, like, the same thing with everything that's going on now. When people don't understand something, they just start yelling at the other people and don't want to understand it and don't take the time to understand it. Instead, they just act out in violence and go about things the wrong way.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. So
the family ended up moving to Lancaster, Ohio, to Chalmers' family farm. Of course, the abuse did not stop. It potentially got worse. Chalmer would take the children into the barn and physically harm them there. There was one day local kids were playing around the area and heard, like, crying and whimpering, I guess, moaning, and they heard it coming from that barn. So they made their way up. They looked inside, and there was Billy tied up with the hands behind his back. Obviously, just...
This is way past
serial killer stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Like, torture, yeah.
Chalmer had such an effect on Billy that during his evaluations, he was scared that Chalmer would find out that he did something wrong and kill him. So even during all what's going on with his rape trial, his evaluations, his number one priority right now, according to Billy, the core Billy, is worried that Chalmer's going to find out that he did something wrong and is going to come find him.
That kind of makes it seem like Billy, even though he's like an adult going through this, that he's not actually processing things like an adult.
Yeah, and if you watch the interviews, you can actually see when Billy is talking, it's more like skittish and soft-toned, acting like a kid that's in trouble. You know how they get real close, like body language and everything.
Yeah.
It's very weird. And then when the other personalities, each personality has their own body language. So this is where it gets a little, I don't want to say dicey, but there's no proof of this. But during these evaluations, Billy recalled accounts of being sexually assaulted by Chalmer. And even at one point said that Chalmer made him dig a grave, made him get in it, placed a pipe around his mouth and nose, then filled the grave in. So Billy is buried alive, which is essentially just like a snorkel that was made out of pipe and made to sit in it.
My only thing with that, and I'm not saying that it's not true, is that wouldn't the dirt on top, like, crush you?
I don't know if it was like a 6-foot grave. It might have just been like a little shallow grave.
Yeah.
Yeah, but regardless, I think he's 10 years old or something at this time.
Yeah.
You did that to me, that's now I would be traumatized for the rest of my life.
Oh, for sure. And I wouldn't put it past Charmer to also sexually abuse, because it's like I just feel like
it's definitely a possibility. Like, at least once, sure. Just to see.
Because it's not, in a lot of these cases, it's not something of where it's a sexual thing for the person doing it. It's more of a power move. Yeah,
and if he's willing to bury him alive and try all these different ways of abuse, why not
tie him up in the barn? Yeah,
I know why not, but the way that he's describing him, he's probably a psychopath. So there's like a couple in this documentary of Chalmer being interviewed and a couple of news clippings. Of course, he denied everything, you know, even though he stated in the same interview that Billy was a pain in the ass and he was a hassle, so he would beat him. He denied all the other outlandish accusations.
Of course he did. It makes him look bad.
During one of these interviews, though, Arthur, if you remember the personality, Arthur, the sophisticated British guy, claimed that Billy tried to commit suicide at 16, so the other personalities put Billy to sleep. And if we remember when we talked about Billy coming to, that's what they described it. They would make Billy go to sleep. If you guys have watched Moon Knight yet on Disney Plus, it's the same thing.
The other personality
makes one personality fall asleep. The personality you want to sleep doesn't remember what happened when the other personality had it. So they'd make Billy fall asleep. He wouldn't remember anything, but the other personalities would remember it.
I was going to say, that's the weird thing about this, is that Billy doesn't remember when all the other personalities are in charge. But if Billy wants to, you know, commit suicide or is starting to do that, they're aware of it. and they can make him go to sleep, and then another personality steps forward. So I, like, that's really fascinating to me that they're aware of what's going on, but when he's not in charge, he's not.
Yeah, but we also have to remember, we're not, I know we're talking about it in time, like, in time of the interviews, but if we step back and look at everything, like, from a skeptic point of view, are we sure that this is a MIP, multiple personality? Are we sure that this is all, this is where a lot of the other doctors and stuff are going, is this multiple personality, or is this somebody who is kind of, how do I want to put this? And we'll definitely talk about this later, but just put this in the back of your mind. This is somebody that could be persuasive as well as manipulative. So he could be persuaded to be doing all this to please the doctors, but is also manipulative enough to persuade the doctors to think this. So that, I know it's crazy, but a lot of the other doctors that aren't in, like, the main circle here think this is something completely different.
Like, he's putting on an act, but the way that they describe
most people that were wrongfully diagnosed with multiple personalities. Now, remember, this is not my opinion. This is just what doctors were saying. A lot of people who are diagnosed with multiple personalities are just people. I think I have the actual thing written later. It's like a dissociative something. They are people who like to please others. So if a doctor comes forward and says, oh, you have multiple personalities, and you can see it sometimes because Billy had 10 personalities at the beginning. Then he has 24. And the same thing can be happened with a lot of these other articles that are written. This lady had 5 personalities. Now all of a sudden she has 6,200 personalities. Well, does she, or is the doctor kind of being persuasive?
Oh, okay.
And that person's trying to please them. But in Billy's case, I think he has a little bit of everything. Sense. Because you also have to be, you know, a sociopath to do some of the stuff that he's doing. He has to be, he's narcissistic at some points. And maybe he does have multiple personalities. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm kind of sort of a doctor, but just not a doctor. So that's just something, something to keep in your back of your mind during this whole interview thing. Evaluations, stuff like that. Just keep that in the back of your mind. But in the time, everybody believed that it was multiple personality. So we're going to jump back into thinking that way as well. Billy would fall asleep whenever he was in a high stress situation. So if we look back at even like the Moon Knight, the original, I don't want to give this away, but I think it's already known. It's not really,
Spoiler alert.
Sorry, spoiler alert. But basically what happens is a personality will take over in any situation when it's high trauma. So in Billy's case, a lot of the abuse, Billy would fall asleep for, and another personality would take that. So David was the 9-year-old that would account for all the abuse. He's the personality that would show up and take that abuse. Most likely because the abuse probably got really bad at the age of 9.
So that makes sense. And that's like his way of protecting, like his brain's way of protecting himself.
Yeah, he doesn't have to, quote unquote, witness it. He has another personality that witnesses it and experiences it for him. According to Kathy Jo, remember Kathy Jo is Billy's sister, when he was 15, he planned on killing Chalmer by stabbing him. It was so prevalent and plan that Billy had. Like, it was very laid out. He had everything organized. He was talking about it like it was going to happen. And then it didn't happen. And Kathy Jo went up to him and was like, what happened? I thought you had everything ready. What happened? And Billy goes, what are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about. I wasn't going to kill Chalmer.
So Kathy Jo and Billy
Billy had this like plan to kill him by himself, but told her like the day maybe a couple days before, told her that he had a day picked out, how he was going to do it, where he was going to stab him. And then it didn't happen. And Billy, was perplexed by Kathy Jo's question. She was like, the knife is still under your pillow. Like, the knife is there. You had it. And he was like, I had no idea what you're talking about. And Kathy Jo was like, that's weird. I don't know. And I think that's when she started like wondering what was going on.
Kind of picking up on. There's more here.
Chalmers' last days with the family was when he and Billy got into a heated argument. Now, the family's a little older. Everybody's in their teenage years. And at the dinner table, Chalmer reached over, dragged Billy across the table, began to choke him. And Billy's brother, Jim, who's the oldest brother, grabbed Chalmer, stuck a knife to his throat, and forced him out of the house.
Jim is his biological son, right?
Jim, Billy, and Kathy Jo the father that killed himself from Miami. They're all biological.
Because I was going to be like, damn, that's I mean, you know you are doing super wrong if your own kid, like, don't get me wrong, I know they're his stepkids and he adopted them or whatever, but and still.
So, yeah, Jim, Billy, and Kathy Jo are all biological. They're not half siblings. They're all biological siblings. And Chalmers just adopted them. So Jim finally just had it. And I guess Jim, I think he was like 16, 17. So he's probably pretty big. When you see him in the interviews, he looked like he was a big guy, like pretty decently in shape. And yeah, he just grabbed him, forced him out of the house by knife. And that was basically one of the last days they see Chalmers.
Good for him.
So we're going to move on to like Billy's like criminal activity. Not so much the rape, but the petty stuff when he was like 17, 18, 19, 20. This is how his life starts to fall apart.
How he's going to get in this stuff.
It's not good already, but this is when it really starts to take a dive. As he grew up in his later teen years, he began dabbling in like drugs and petty crime. In 1972, he was just 17 years old when he was arrested for rape and attempted kidnapping. So when I said the rapes, the campus rapes, he committed one other one when he was 17. The way that the sister described it in the documentary, I don't know. I couldn't find anything on it. But the way that she described it was that him and another boy took these two girls out on a joyride. And if you guys know what joyriding is, it's when you take a car without permission with the intent to return it. And they were drinking and probably doing a little bit of drugs. They had sex. It could go either way, honestly. I don't know. I don't want to say that Billy didn't rape and kidnap this girl. But it also could be that, you know, she got caught up in some stuff and blamed him. It could be either one. There's just not enough information on it, and that's how the sister described it, was that they were a bunch of teenagers that went out and got drunk and had sex. I don't know.
But you don't know how consensual or what they were smoking or drinking the situation.
More recent stuff, you could see how it could actually be an actual kidnapping and rape.
But you know what, too? And this is just like, obviously, we would never victim blame here, but like, what if the girls, you know, went with the guys because it was like a date or whatever they did back then? Her parents found out, was not happy about it, and then all of a sudden, you know what I mean? Like, that's how she's staying out of trouble. Because, I mean, that has happened before, where it's like, she doesn't want to admit that she was doing this, so it was like, oh, I was forced. And I'm not saying, like, that's anything that would happen, but it's just another avenue, since there's not much detail.
There's victim blaming, and then there's stuff that actually happens. And we all know that actually happens a lot. I don't want to say all the time, but it happens. Both ways happen. There's actual rapes, and then there's actual people who regret what happened and make up a story, whether it's female or male. You know, it happens a lot, and we get it all the time. Like, it's not a common occurrence, but it's not unheard of either. At 19 years old, he would go to a local spot where gay men would meet up for sex, and then he would rob them. So they would go to the like a rest stop. And you gotta remember, this is the 70s. Gay men or women are not, it's not good to be gay, right, at this point in America. So they would meet up at these local spots that nobody really knew and meet up for sex or dates. However, people took advantage of this, just like the serial killers did with the prostitutes and the gay men. Nobody wanted to report this because they didn't want to report that they were at a gay spot. So they would get robbed for their money. Well, guess what? They got robbed for their money. They wouldn't report it because no one wanted to admit that they were at this spot for local gay sex.
Yeah, because it almost, they would get in more trouble for being gay and for being at the spot.
Yeah, exactly. So they just took their losses and that was it. He would be arrested again for burglarizing the local drugstore and end up serving 2 years in Lebanon Correctional Institute. Lebanon is where his first diagnosis occurs. One document said that he would be considered a somewhat hysterical personality with some schizoid features. He did not receive any care, though, at Lebanon. And remember, schizoid is a very common term for pretty much every mental illness that existed, but that's how they described it back then. And that's actually where in the 90s, everybody called each other a schizoid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I totally forgot about that.
If you were just like somebody that was kind of skittish or whatever, everybody just called you a schizoid. I think there was another one, too. I think I actually covered it here in a little bit. Anywho, later Billy would claim that he did not know any of these things, and he would wake up and someone would tell him what he'd done. So most of these crimes he did not remember, would wake up, someone would tell him what he did. he'd wake up in jail. Someone would tell him what he did while he's in jail.
Yeah, I was going to say, imagine waking up on your fire escape and then someone tells you, like, hey, you just robbed this drugstore.
Yeah, I hope, like, what? I hope that never happens to me.
Like, I cringe at, like,
right?
You That's texted what I'm saying. You last night?
He would also state that it was Reagan that was meeting these people and using drugs, so there's his scapegoat. I don't want to say, well, you know, Reagan is the personality.
Okay.
Yeah.
Reagan is the one personality
that did all this stuff. He's the rage, and he is the violent one. So he's the one that is always robbing people and burglarizing stores. Now, if we go move forward a little bit to the rapes of the campus, so the campus rapes. During the time of the rapes, a few months prior, Reagan stated that he was one of the ones on the spot. So when they say on the spot, most of the time, on the spot means he's the one in control. So during this time, Reagan is the one that is control Billy. He was planning on the robberies of the women who were attacked. So his plan was to rob the women of their money and leave. Reagan stated that he committed the robberies. He didn't remember much about the attacks because it was Adelana. I can't remember how to say it, but it was that part, one of the personalities that we don't know much about. But she was the one stealing time from him during the attacks and was the one that committed all of the rapes. Reagan went to rob.
That's very interesting.
You know, get the money. But when it was time, when they got together, it was time for Adelana to take over and commit the sexual assaults.
It's almost like it's like a little Bonnie and Clyde team. Like they teamed up to do this together.
So the doctors were actually able to get, quote unquote, a hold of Adelana. I know I'm butchering that name. My Pittsburgh's coming out. Please just deal with it. Adelana.
How's it spelled?
I think I'm all right. You guys are just going to have to deal with it.
Fine. It sounds right. Yeah. Well, there's a... Okay, so if he's saying it wrong, there is a voicemail feature on our app.
That will work out great. Thank you.
How to say it correctly.
I can't wait for some of those voicemails.
I cannot wait.
Just a heads up, if you're vulgar, I'm just deleting it. I'm not even listening to it. Well, she ended up admitting that she didn't know why, but she felt lonely and wanted to know what love was, and that's why she committed all the rapes.
That is,
and it should be noted that she came out during these evaluations that she's a lesbian. So,
okay, I was gonna say, like, why wouldn't it be like going after male victims?
Yeah, that's a great question. I wish I had time to actually like watch the full interviews, but I'm sure there's freaking countless of hours of it. So the nice little snippets that were in the documentaries. I watched a couple maybe on YouTube of just like a little bit.
Documentaries. I don't know. I just like how you said it. I'm sure we can absolutely find them on YouTube, and they're probably super long.
Oh, it's totally interesting, sure, it's because the personalities actually talk about each other and who does what, and, you know, this personality doesn't like that personality. And I'm sorry if you hear balking. My chickens are going crazy right now, so I don't know if you can hear that. But if you do, my chickens are going crazy and I'm about to have an egg. So, for example, what we were talking about when the person is talking about each other, Reagan asks if they're going to throw Adelana in the women's prison because she's the one that committed the crime. So they look at each other as such actual personalities that they think that Adelana is the only one going to jail and she should be put in a women's prison. And then Tommy, who's like the escape artist, I think he's definitely younger, the way he talks, does not like Adelana because she does weird stuff. That's what he said. She does weird stuff. You can just see how weird it is that they all know what's going on besides Billy. And then they talk about each other like
it's all like
hate each other. Yeah. Exactly. Like they're siblings. But, you know, I think that's a good stopping point for today, Ash. We covered a lot there. We should have we might have like two more episodes here. So,
I mean, but I like it. It's a deep dive into this, and it's something that it's so hard to skim over because there's so many different avenues and so many different
and that's the thing. Things like, to get into. I try to skip over stuff because I was like, oh, this isn't important. And then like two to 5 minutes later, it would bring it back, and I'm like, oh, that was important. So I had to watch. I think there's each episode was like an hour-ish, and I think there's four. So I should have watched 4 hours. I ended up watching like probably six or seven, just how long I had to rewind, watch it again, rewind, watch it again. There's just so much detail. I hope I didn't get too into it, but I feel like this is very needed to understand what was going on at the time And it's just a crazy story. Like, we haven't even got into, like, the craziness yet. And we've already had some crazy parts.
Oh, for sure. And it's just, like, his background is so tragic, with just what he went through. But then not understanding his, I don't want to say disorder, but, like, all these personalities. It's just crazy leading up to, like, how he got here. It's good to understand that. It's just easier to understand.
But, yeah, so we're going to pick up next week on Billy. Like I said, this might run 2 more episodes. We'll see. Maybe 1 long one. Yeah, so that's all I got for today.
We'll see what happens.
Don't forget to check out Magic Mind at www.magicmind.co/don'tgo and use our offer code don'tgo20 for 40% off your first subscription or 20% off your first purchase. I'm actually probably going to go to take another shot of it right now and start on this drawl of the hallway.
That sounds super not fun. Yeah, I'm going to go golfing. Check us out on social media. We have Instagram, don't_go_in_ there. You can also find that code for Magic Mind. Facebook, group and page. Go ahead, be our friend, like our page, share it, join our little community. TikTok, don't go in there pod. We're still learning it, but feel free to follow us. And then our email, don'tgointhere19@gmail.com. Send us in any true crime stories, paranormal stories, things you want to cover. Don't forget to, you know, like and subscribe to us on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. And I believe it's on Spotify that you can send us in, or the Anchor app, that you can send us in a little voicemail. And that's it. All right. So
and, thank you guys for listening. Since we have nothing else, just remember, don't go in there.